The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DJ El Camino at work. He joins us, otherwise known as Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. I'm not sure which gig is more important to him these days any longer. Yesterday, I interviewed someone on the show that said that they were procuring his services at a fundraiser headed and he's even cross-marketing now. He comes on, you know, he's got other people marketing his services on my show. I mean, this is ridiculous.
I don't know. Maybe isn't that what you do? Maybe I'm a content creator. Maybe that's what I am. You know what it reminds me of? You say which is more important. So years ago, I think I can tell this story. So I was at the funeral for Mr. Benson at St. Louis Cathedral. Beautiful, you know, building, very solemn ceremony. I don't know, hundreds, thousands of people there, and I was just reveling or marveling at the people who came out to pay their respects to Mr. Benson. And the person sitting next to me was a Jesuit. I didn't actually know that. I probably should have checked. But I turned to this gentleman and I said, "So, you know, what do you think the true official religion is of New Orleans? You know, Catholicism or the saints?" And he kind of looks at me and he looks around and I swear he looks up and then he leans down next to me and he says, "It's a tie."
There you go. Oh, Michael Heck, Michael Heck.
It's a tie, Newell. It's a tie.
It's a tie. It's a tie.
How's that speaking truth to power thing going for you? I hear about it on the radio every time I come on. How's that working out for you?
It's going well. I mean, I know you and I disagree on some of these issues, but it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's important to, you know, like Lincoln, you know, be surrounded by a cabinet of, you know, people of different minds. You know, it shows that you have a first rate mind, that you can surround yourself by that and not go crazy.
Not go crazy and not be intimidated by it. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, no, you stopped being intimidated a few minutes ago.
Yeah. So T-minus 88, you know, it's funny. Every time I go to these numbers, it's like, okay, where are these days going? But they seem to be going by quick, for sure. We have Thanksgiving in just a week and a half, and so things are moving fast around here. But I did notice some really good things going on, Michael, over there by the Sanger, the old site of the hotel collapse. Looks like they're starting to do some work there to get that area cleaned up. I think that's very important, quite frankly.
Yeah, we're at the point now. I mean, I agree with you. Every morning I wake up and I look at the countdown, I feel like we lost 2 days the day before. It's kind of in that accelerating period. But it's actually even more critical than that, because if we don't get final projects going over the next couple of weeks, they're not going to happen. We just run out of time to even begin. So we're kind of in the final countdown today for something that's happening, you know, 90 days from now. But there's a ton that is going on. So around the Hard Rock site there, you're having all the waterline, all the water lines being repaired. You have the sidewalks being repaired. That site for the Super Bowl, we're going to put a scrim up around the fence in partnership with the NFL. And then there's a massive wall there on the side of a hotel called the Mayfair. And the owner is going to let us work with folks who do LunaFet and project on that wall. So that area, which right now is an eyesore at best, is going to be cleaned up and beautified for the game. And then, you know, continuing down Canal Street, we're now prioritizing all the sidewalks that need to be repaired, the lamps, the curbs. There's a lot of tightening up that we need to do. It's worse kind of towards the Hard Rock site, but all the way down down Canal Street.
Are they going to resolve the lighting? The lighting there is horrible. You know, I love going to the Sanger, but I always feel like the moment I cross the street there, I'm taking my life into my own hands because you can't see anything. It's so dark, it's ridiculous.
No, it's a good point. Let me check on that. You know, we have a $2 million contract that we're managing for lighting in the French Quarter. I don't believe that it extends out to Canal Street, so I have to check on that because lighting is one of the simplest ways that you can, you know, increase safety and beautify. So let me just check on that. You know, one of the challenges has been, unfortunately, and you see how these things all kind of, you know, go together, that there have been vagrants who've been stealing the wiring, the copper, out of the lamps to sell them on the secondary market. And that's actually been the biggest challenge with a lot of the lighting on Canal Street. So my hope is that as Nate and the team, supported by the governor, continue to house individuals and clean up the homeless situation, that type of damage is going to become less frequent, because otherwise you're just kind of playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah, but it's going to look great. I'm confident it's going to look great. I mean, already you're seeing the improvements. You kind of feel really good about it. It's a pain in the neck getting around the city, but I always focus on what the final product's going to be.
Oh, I agree. And look, I want to say this to everybody who's listening right now. I want to beg for their grace and forbearance, because it's going to get particularly intense over the next month. We're going to be starting the road work in the French Quarter on the 17th in a few days. We're going to be redoing all of Charters. We're going to be redoing the worst blocks of Iberville. We're going to be putting in new bollards. There's sidewalk work that's going on, lighting work. It's going to be intense in the French Quarter for a few weeks, but it's got to happen sometime. We have the Super Bowl. It's forcing us to do it, and the improvements will last for many years, for decades. So what I have told people, though, Newell, is that if there's construction work that's happening which is not being done appropriately or not being cleaned up appropriately or shut down at the right hour, they should just email us at superbowl@janowink.org, and we'll get on it right away.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other significant improvements that you want to talk about?
You know, there are a few to go through. There's a ton of work that's going on in the CBD, on Girard, on Howard, on the old part of Poydras that's getting fixed up. The existing Poydras Street, which has been totally redone, is getting restriped. Julia Street's finishing up with all the ADA ramp installations. Girard is getting a bunch of sidewalk repairs finalized. Out in the east, Downman Road is getting remilled, and the sidewalk repairs are ongoing out there by the airport. And then this is a critical one. There's been construction going on South Claiborne for way too long, for months. It's a Sewer and Water Board project that got backed up with some contractor issues. We've been working with them. We met yesterday, and now I'm confident that Claiborne will get redone by Christmas time, and it'll be back open because it's a critical artery, obviously. The only thing is that it's going to be fully closed between Louisiana and Toledano the weekend of November 22nd to 24th, and that'll be on nolastreets.info, which is where you can always go to find out about closures. But unfortunately, there's going to be 2 days where they're doing tie-ins where there's nearly no option, so we'll just have to avoid Claiborne for that weekend.
Michael, I meant to ask this question last week. I got a similar text just now about the interstate lighting. There still seems to be some major voids there. I know that I thought they were supposed to have that done by the middle of this month. Any update on that?
Yeah, so there's the way the interstate works, even though it's a federal road, the individual parishes are responsible. On the Jefferson side, we got a report today that the lights are 66% done, so two-thirds done. So there's still work to be done on the Jefferson side, including on some of the overpasses, like Cleary, for example, needs the lights turned back on. On the New Orleans side, they're making progress. I did notice yesterday that there's a whole swath as you go around the curve by West End going from New Orleans into Metairie that's out. That was due to an accident. Somebody hit a pole and took out a section, and so that's getting repaired. And again, if people are driving, you know, early in the morning or at night and they see sections that are out, just email superbowl@genoinc.org so we can bird dog it. And it's just at the point now, Newell, where we're kind of crowdsourcing the problems. You're not bothering us. If you see something, it's better to send it to us and make sure that we're on it as opposed to assuming that it's getting done.
A lot of good news, a lot of things happening around. I'm going to have Walt Leger with New Orleans and Company on later, but let's talk, if you would, about I know you want to talk about Joe Threat, Deputy CAO, excuse me, of New Orleans, was honored this week as a 2024 Veteran of the Year on Monday at the World War II Museum.
Yeah, I just want to call out. So Joe is the guy who's really the point for the city on all the infrastructure work. He's been magnificent. The reason why he's so good at this is that he served in Vietnam, he served in Desert Storm, he served in Desert Shield, and he served in the Philippines putting down a coup. But I have to say, so there was this beautiful ceremony on Monday at the World War II Museum. Hundreds of people there. You know, tears were shed. It was really lovely. But the video, you know, they always do these kind of slow motion videos where they introduce somebody who's getting an award, and the one for Joe was classic. So it's showing images of him in Vietnam. It's showing images of him in Desert Storm in Iraq. Images of him in the Philippines, and then it says, and then Joe Threat returned to New Orleans to take on the biggest challenge of his career, Deputy CAO of the City of New Orleans.
Biggest, most challenging, and maybe life-threatening, right?
And I'm sorry, it was a solemn occasion, but I just lost it. And I don't know if they were. I think it was being played straight up. But anyway, congratulations to Joe, and thank you for your service. And you know, on Veterans Day, thank you to everybody who serves our country.
Governor Landry leaving his fingerprint on environmental regulations. Tell us about it.
Well, this is one. So the governor had already said that he was going to work with Secretary Giacometto at DEQ to make sure or to see how they can audit and then speed up their permitting process. That was all well and good, but to be honest, a lot of that, how important, how impactful it was going to be, was going to depend on what happened at the federal level. I can make this next statement, I think, with based on experience, and it's not a political statement, but under a Trump administration, if it's anything like what we saw in 2016, you're going to see a lot less red tape, a lot less bureaucracy, and you're going to see permitting. And by the way, not just for, you know, drill baby drill projects, but also for green projects like green hydrogen are going to get sped up rapidly. This is going to be a good thing in tandem with what's happening in Louisiana, and I think you'll just see projects come online sooner, which means they'll be less expensive, they have less chance of not happening, and it'll be better for, you know, better for the economy and, you know, frankly, better for the environment.
What's kind of emblematic of that is ExxonMobil CEO comes out the other day kind of giving the Trump administration a warning about some of this green energy. You know, don't slide back on this. There's value there, and we intend to move forward.
Yeah, something that people tend to not realize in this is that when you talk about, let's just call it like lower carbon energy, even if it's, you know, hydrocarbons, 70% of the reduction in carbon emissions globally have been driven by the supermajors like ExxonMobil and Shell and Chevron. And so they're invested in this to the tunes of billions and billions of dollars. They're trying to stay in front of the curve. They're very invested in a lot of the projects and programs that were in the Inflation Reduction Act, which was really a climate bill that was misleadingly named. And so they've got a lot hinging on being able to continue in this direction. I think that's going to be okay. I think there's so much money at stake, and I think that they are trying to do it in a way that's responsible and balanced, that I think that we're going to be able to continue down a path where Louisiana is already a leader, which is this all-of-the-above energy strategy, where we're doing oil, we're doing gas in a way that is as environmentally friendly as possible, but then we're also doing hydrogen, we're also doing biofuels, we're also doing solar. And the one area which I know that Governor Landry is big on it, I don't know what Trump's position is on it, but I can guess, and that's nuclear. You know, Newell, I've never understood why nuclear was really permanently put in the bad box. If you're an environmentalist and you're also a realist and recognize that energy consumption is going through the roof because of population growth around the world, because of AI, because of electrification, then the only way that you get there in a way that doesn't shut down economies is with things like carbon capture on hydrocarbons and nuclear or modular nuclear. So I think you're going to see a comeback. I heard they're turning Three Mile Island back on. So you're going to begin to see nuclear, I think, come back in to the mix. It already is 20% of Louisiana and 50% of New Orleans, but I think nationally nuclear will have a comeback.
And also what will help the energy industry is Senator John Thune from South Dakota, Republican, has just been named the president of the Senate.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that's great. Thune is, he's respected, he's sober, he comes from an energy state, obviously. Okay, that just came in. That's great. That's a...
He won on a second ballot.
Yep. Wow. Okay, which is also great. And I don't know, was he a Trump pick, or would he kind of win this one?
I'm not sure. You know, you had Cornyn in there, and you had Rick Scott in there with the other two.
Right. And Scott Thune ends up kind of a long shot.
Yeah. Okay. And Thune ends up winning and on the second ballot. But again, it's good for energy, right?
Oh, it's great for energy. And, you know, let's talk about what's going on in D.C. for a second relative to Louisiana. We are so over-indexed in terms of relative influence right now, you know, with the on the House side, with Scalise and with the Speaker. We have people like our Treasurer, John Fleming, who I think was Deputy Chief of Staff for a minute for Donald Trump. We're very well positioned up there from, you know, Speaker Johnson all the way down. So we have to take advantage of this moment as a state. And, of course, Governor Landry is a close associate of the president as well, or the president-elect.
He actually may be the closest associate to the president for sure. Green light for EV future in Jefferson Parish.
Yeah, this was a nice one. There's been, you know, recently we can never take industrial projects for granted anymore. There's been pushback all throughout Louisiana, a lot of it, in my opinion, unwarranted and due to outside influence. But this one sailed through. This is a Japanese company, UBE, that's going to be manufacturing some of the solvents that are used in electric vehicle batteries and lithium-ion batteries. And they're going to be co-locating on Cornerstone out in Waggaman. And it's just another step in Louisiana becoming this leader in all of the above energy future, where making the components for electric batteries. And then what I'd like to see, Newell, is that we start actually manufacturing the batteries themselves. Because that's always been the challenge in Louisiana, is that we make the raw materials, we make the commodities, but we don't do the value add. So I'm hopeful that in a place like UBE, it'll go from just making the solvents to then eventually making the batteries themselves.
Michael, how much of an impediment has it been trying to get through the regulatory process for these rare earth minerals companies that intended to mine them? There's a recent find just right here on the the northern border of Louisiana, the coterminous border with Arkansas. I forgot what mineral it was. There's a huge find there. I gotta imagine, hopefully under the Trump administration, they're able to move forward on some of this and not have it get caught up in the quagmire of the regulatory process for 2.5-3 years.
Yeah, I think that is, like we said before, definitively going to be the case. You're going to see projects go forward on a much more expeditious fashion. I don't think that means jettisoning safety or environmental quality. It just means that a lot of the unnecessary bureaucracy and, frankly, politics around permitting, I think, will go away, at least temporarily.
No, absolutely. All right, we got to get to a break. We are visiting with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We've got a tornado warning in the following parishes until 12:27 p.m. That's Orleans, St. Charles, Lafourche, St. John the Baptist, and St. James. So just be aware of that. Tornado warning until 12:27 p.m. Michael, we have a guest that joins us today.
We do, and I'm not afraid to say that this gentleman is actually a real DJ instead of a whatever I am, a dilettante wannabe fanboy DJ. This is one of the best, most versatile DJs, producers, label owners in New Orleans. His name is Bryce Nice. He's a historian. He owns a vinyl company, a punk label, Raw Sugar Records. He's kind of what I want to be when I grow up. So I'm glad you're having him on to tell us how to do it.
There you go.
Hello, y'all. Thank you, Michael. That was incredible and well beyond. You're a real DJ. I know we've been in this for a long time together. And hello, Newell.
Thank you so much for coming on. When I was reading the bio about an independently owned and operated vinyl record manufacturing, it was just a blast from the past for me, right? My Macintosh amp, my Mac preamp, my dual turntable with a Shure needle and two huge Savard speakers, and of course the Macs were running VFET technology. It was the best, man. That was the best. That was the
that
best years
like a
of my life.
System, yeah.
It was. I could rock the walls down for sure.
Nice.
No, but it was a time in my life that you never wanted it to end. Yeah, I love cassette and 8-track. I love talking to my kids about 8-tracks and cassettes, and they don't even know what the hell I'm talking about, right? and then like a vinyl record.
The other one. Yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just was going to say, I think cassettes are a little bit back. Vinyl is heavily back. I don't know if we're going to get 8 tracks back. That one might be okay to let go.
Yeah, hopefully not, quite frankly, but that's all right. So, yeah. Bryce, tell us about that. I got to imagine that everybody that you tell that you know about what it is that you're doing, that they get really curious and inquisitive.
Absolutely. And again, thank you both for having me on. Thank you for hosting me on your show, Newell and Michael, for that fantastic introduction and for the work you're doing. Records, it's wild because, you know, the physical medium has come back. As I'm sure you've seen the reports, they're just the vinyl sales keep going up. We thought it was dead in the early 90s, and it never really went away. But, yeah, it's kind of a mystical art, and why in this digital age are we so attached to this this vinyl record and the art attached to it and the music on the groove? I don't know, even though it's mystified me since I was a kid. And making the records is a whole nother part of the process that is, frankly, a little bit absurd. Hasn't changed much in 70 years since they started manufacturing vinyl records, sort of in the early 50s or whatever. And it's incredible. It's an industrial plastics manufacturing process, so it's not as exciting in practice as what's on the grooves, but the reason we all love it is because of what ends up on the grooves and being able to play it at home. So, yeah, it's pretty wild, and it's really fun to see, especially here in New Orleans, artists who have just made a record, recorded it, spent, you know, put a labor of love in, and we don't just do New Orleans, but we do folks from all over, but especially we're really centered here. They come in, and then they leave with an actual vinyl record. Takes a few months. It's not instantaneous. But the feeling of them opening that and then putting it on the turntable is sort of incomparable. It's amazing.
I love the fact that you said you don't know why this phenomenon is really going on.
Yeah.
You know, that's a first for me when somebody's heavily invested and engaged and someone say, I have no clue why this phenomenon is going on.
I can certainly tell you why I love it, and I think anyone who listens to them, even like you said, reminiscing on your system from the past, why did you, you know, they sounded so good, they still do, but it is tough. It's a little counterintuitive in our current environment when we're all going, you know, everybody's going to streaming and stuff, why we're going back to this kind of bulky medium. And there, it's the mysticism of it. There's something about being able to touch it, to listen to it, hear the groove. It just, you know, it sounds better, and it feels good, especially for an artist you really love. It feels like you're sort of you're getting a direct connect with them.
Well, I mean, yeah. If I could interrupt, I'm sorry. There is the physicality of the medium, and I know this because we're moving, and so I was forced by my lovely and considerate wife to trim down my CD collection from 1,200 to about 250. And going through them, wow. I was just so interesting about how every one that I touched, and I collected CDs from, I guess, probably like the early 90s through the early aughts, how many of them triggered a specific memory of time, place, feeling. Albums even more so because they're larger. And you just don't get that memory dividend from a Spotify click. So it's a much richer medium in every sense, and I think people are kind of returning to that, the value you get out of it in that sense, not to get too mystical or get too Rick Rubin, but I think there's something there.
Well, it's so true. I was cleaning out my mom's house, and under the stairwell they built shelves, and my mom and dad were dancers. They danced every Friday night, every Saturday night. Latin music, all kinds of music. And they must have, I don't know, 400 albums, you know, stacked up there. And I just sat there one day and started going through them and just remember listening to them playing these albums and just reminiscing about, you know, as a young kid, watching them dance, watching their love to dance and watching their love, you know, for each other while dancing. I mean, it was just, it really is something special that way. You can touch it,
absolutely.
Feel it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We feel like New Orleans as a music city, obviously, I know you guys talk a lot about all the economy, but one thing that we have here is this music economy that's vibrant, not just in New Orleans, but across Louisiana. And there had never been a record press, actually, in the city of New Orleans. There had been a really big one out in Ville Platte in the 80s, and there had been some others in other parts, but there'd never been one in New Orleans, and it sort of connects the circle of the origins of jazz and rock and roll and all these things that we love that are here. But somehow being able to actually make the records here and have an artist come pick them up here is also part of that connection that I really love. And I think it extends that consumer feeling, you know, of like going to a record shop, remembering, or like you talked about, Noah, with your parents. But also this, I think, kind of closes a loop in a really exciting way that we see as a benefit to the city and culture.
So you said a lot that this, the technology itself hasn't really changed much. It's a heavy material laden process. It sounds like. Yeah. Where do you source these materials?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. Yeah, that's actually a challenge. There's a lot of the raw materials that we use to make the record. So we actually do manufacture the record itself here. We take PVC pellets, just in a granular form, and press them into the vinyl records. There's a whole lot of other stuff that goes into it in that process, but we physically manufacture those here. Those pellets themselves, I think, are, you know, the biggest single item we have to source, and they all come from overseas right now. That, you know, there's other parts that come from elsewhere as well. Some of the metal parts we don't make here in Louisiana, the electroplating, of course, there's electroplating facilities here, but not for this industry. There's paper and printing and things that could be here elsewhere, but the single biggest one is that PVC product that comes from overseas. And we'd love to look at it possibly sourcing it locally, since there is that capability here in Louisiana.
Bryce, is the pricing competitive? I mean, what are the cost of the goods to manufacture this? I mean, is it out of whack,
sure,
or is it in line to, with, you know, speaking, you know, going back to when they were popular, or what?
So, you know, per record, you're spending, you know, a decent amount more than you did. I think vinyl is retailing anywhere from $15-$16 for an LP on the low end, and that's a pretty low end, up to boutique products that are $40-$50 and more, depending. I think you see a lot of folks talking about vinyl as a revenue source for artists and labels directly, where they're not receiving revenue from streaming really at all, and very little from paid downloads of those things. So a physical product, both through the internet, or, you know, through the mail, I guess, but also then through touring, is where a lot of artists are realizing money. So, you know, our price point, and we'll make as short run as 100 records, maybe even 50 records. And you're paying quite a bit per unit because of the number of of initial costs there are. But when you get it up into, you know, 5,000 units for like a bigger artist, you know, it costs $6 to $10. I'll just give you a range, and then they're retailing those from $20 to $50. So it sort of depends on your perspective. You know what I mean? It's a really good revenue source for an artist or a label who has a good direct connect with their fans. Not quite as cheap as going to the bin in the 80s, and you know, there'd be a $9.99 section. There's little of that, but you can get a great new LP for $20, $30, depending on what it is.
So Bryce, when we look at some of the newer generations, whether it be Gen X, Y, Gen Z's, millennials, is there one group or one age group that has a stronger affinity to this than, you know, thinking about my generation, baby boomers, this is what we grew up in, right?
You know, it's interesting. It's a great question. And actually, every type of music has seemed to have a renaissance on vinyl. There's not one type. And by then extension, that carries to different age groups and sort of demographics and things that people are interested in. We just pressed a run of 78 RPM records. Would you ever think that you would be pressing a 78 RPM record in 2024? But there is a niche market of people who love old-time music, like usually a jazz music sort of origin in the 20s and 30s, 40s, and they want it on a 78, and they maybe still play it on a 78. Now, there's lots of people who are, making new music at home on their computer, rappers, digital creators of dance music and things like that. They're 18 years old, and they're putting their records, their music on vinyl. And, of course, all the classics that you know from every era, whether it's Beatles or classical music or soul music, all of it is ending up jazz. It's all ending up on wax, and there's niche markets for it. So, of course, some are bigger than others. But, it's a pretty pretty dynamic sector, I would say, musically. Crosses all kind of interests.
So you're making 33s, you're making 45s and 78s.
Yeah, we make them all. We mostly focus on the LP size, 33 RPM, although you can cut that at whatever speed you want. You know, we used to call them, you know, LPs are usually 33, but they can be cut at a different speed. But not to get bogged down with that, we mostly do a 12-inch record, which is your standard LP, but we'll make the others as well. Yeah.
This is very interesting.
You know, we make them for folks. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So, you know, we make them for folks all over the world, actually. We just are shipping our first LPs to the Philippines now. We've shipped to Japan and other countries, although in most, you know, there are vinyl manufacturers in other places. We certainly do the most for our local community. We work with the great Tipitina's Record Club. They have, you know, they put out records every 2 months. We do stuff. We just are made a, you know, Preservation Hall jazz band and brass band. We make things for, you know, heavy metal and punk rock musicians, rappers, everybody here in New Orleans. And it's really fun. We make PJ Morton's records. Like, it's so fun to see people come and pick them up here and get them right out to their fans. So I'd say it really crosses everyone.
You got me really missing my Savards and my Polk audio speakers that I lost in Katrina. Damn it.
When you get it back up, come get some records from us. We'll have some records for you when you get your system back up.
Hey, Bryce, let me ask you this question. I always thought that it'd be really nice in New Orleans to set up a Tokyo-style audiophile bar. You know, like a little place, seats about 20 people.
A lifting
people.
Bar, yeah.
I mean, the name for it. I was going to call it Supersonic. Done in like those American Airlines, Sans Serif. Let's just do that, man. I mean, at least we got one customer.
Love it.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. I think, you know, any ways to connect that, you know, we're in a city of music. We're one. We don't have one yet. Let's do it.
You put wine in there and I'm there, baby. That's all I can tell
you. Absolutely.
Right now Newell has to go to one of those pottery and Chardonnay bars. It's pathetic. Like we need
it, it is.
We need to. We,
It is totally pathetic.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Bryce White with New Orleans Record Press. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck to you. This was great. I'm totally intrigued by this all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for having me and for the Record Press. And anybody wants to make records, come get with us. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time. It's a pleasure. Thanks,
all
Mike.
Righty.
Thanks,
we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Coleman working his magic, baby.
Oh man, Supersonic. Well played, Coleman. I was Hey man, that guy Bryce Nice, he's the real deal.
I'm going to tell you, Michael, and this is in the way of thanks. We have been exposed to just so many intriguing initiatives and endeavors and things that people are involved in that I would have never imagined, right? And the people of the city have no idea how the breadth and depth of what's going on. And this was a classic example of it. I mean, I just love that this endeavor.
No, it's great, and I know it's why you tolerate me for the 30 minutes before them, and that's fine. You know, I was always the one that, you know, made sure I went to the club with the, you know, the tall, attractive person, you know.
But, I mean, it's interesting to hear, you know, this is coming back, and I love what he said. I don't know why, but you know, it's coming back, but...
No, well, it is. Yeah, he's wonderful. You know, it's coming back for all the obvious reasons that we're returning to analog. They're physical reasons, they're emotional reasons, he's also obviously an entrepreneur besides being a great musician. So, no, it's fun. And Noel, look, you know, the fact that you're able to give these individuals a platform that they would never get otherwise is really the gift that you're giving them. So it works both ways, and it's really fun. I give a lot of credit to Matt Wolf on our team who sources these people and gets them on the show for us.
No, Absolutely. And actually yesterday for the NOLA Coalition segment, we had the lady from Xavier University with the Codes for Kids program, who was just Dr. Co. Absolutely. She was just so polite, so interesting, and just so excited about being on. And we really appreciated that as well. And, you know, I'd heard of her. I knew of her. I knew what she was doing. And it was just really rewarding to highlight her efforts in the city.
Yeah, well, it's great to give the platform, and you know, there is a ton of good stuff that's going on in the city, and everybody contributes by doing their thing, whether it's starting a record press or running a nonprofit to get, you know, coats for kids. You know, if everybody kind of pulls in the same direction, doing what they love and what they're good at, the city moves forward, and I think that's what we're really trying to encourage here.
And for those of you that missed yesterday's show, you have an opportunity to see DJ El Camino, otherwise known as Michael Heck, performing at that function at Gallia Hall. Looking forward to it. I told her I was going to be there, so I'm going to see you perform that night.
All right, we'll play. You could be one of those people that makes requests. I'll take requests. I'm a very humble DJ.
There you go. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it. As always, have a great week.
As well, Newell. I'll see you next week.
All righty. That's Michael Heck, folks, president and CEO of GNO Inc. When we come back, we will be right back. Excuse me. Stay with us.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.